The Debt on Battle Creek College. August 2, 1899. Typed. In the General Conference Bulletin, there appeared the statement that a man by the name of Norman had made large donations to the General Conference. This brightened up the prospect wonderfully. It was thought that thus relief would be brought to the various lines of work. With this impression, a request was made that the unpaid interest on the Battle Creek College debt, amounting to $20,000, be canceled. After this, a request was made that the entire debt, about $80,000, be canceled. But this was not considered advisable. In the night season, I appeared to be in a meeting. Some present were earnestly advocating the matter of canceling the college debt, saying that this would be a great blessing to the institution. Voices were raised, saying, "Give the school the debt. Show your liberality." One of authority stepped forward and said to those in charge of responsibilities in our institutions and of the conference funds, "The debt upon the conference must not be increased. The conference has no moral right to use its money to cancel the college debt." Had the managers of the various lines of work in the publishing business and the conference heeded the warnings graciously given them by the Lord, this debt would not have existed. Instruction was given that the principles of self-sacrifice must be maintained, in order that the gospel might go to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. When men walk in the counsel of the Lord, they will maintain the principles of self-denial which the Lord outlined in the establishment of the work. God will work with all who follow the example of Christ. He will be magnified in their counsels. He will give them clear intellect and will answer their sincere prayers. Their humility and charity will come up before Him, as did the prayers and alms of Cornelius. The Lord will be with those who search the Scriptures and obey the instruction and warnings He has given them to save them from dishonoring His name. Our instructor spoke with great earnestness, saying, "The light God has given has been regarded by some as foolishness. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Every institution which claims to be the Lord's instrumentality should be sanctified by pure, holy principles. To those connected with these institutions, God says, 'Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord.'" Isaiah 52, verse 11. When these words are heeded, the golden oil will be emptied from the two olive branches into the golden pipes, which will empty themselves into the vessels prepared for the anointing oil. With great sadness, our instructor said, "Many of you have lost your connection with God. Therefore, your hearts are not softened by the grace of God, represented by the holy oil. The stewards of the conference have no moral right to transfer the debt from the school to the conference. The conference needs to come near to God and to understand as never before the exalted character of the work of Christ in this apostate world. Those in positions of trust are to act in all things as faithful stewards, guarding conscientiously and religiously the funds which have been created by the people. In the past, this has not been done, and men have an account to settle with their God. The Lord would be pleased to see revealed today the self-denial and self-sacrifice which was revealed in the establishment of the work. Means are not to be drawn from the treasury to establish institutions at a risk of crippling the advancement of truth in regions beyond. The Lord has moved upon the hearts of His people by His Spirit, and they have given of their substance. But the men who have held office have not represented the author and finisher of their faith. The hearts of the managers of the work must be broken under the power of the Holy Spirit. When those who are handling sacred things reveal the Spirit of Christ, God will work with them and with His people." Had the cautions and warnings given by God been heeded, the work would now stand clear, pure, and exalted, and the Lord would be honored in all His instrumentalities. But unsanctified men have been connected with the work, and they have misapplied the resources and have defiled the sacred place of God. By men with uncleansed hearts and hands, holy things have been handled as common things. Selfish, covetous men have committed the sin of idolatry. If men could only see what their course of action has resulted in, they would fear and tremble, as they will in the day when they stand before God. But they are not cured. Even in this their day, they know not the things which belong unto their peace. If they did, there would be a repentance that would not need to be repented of. Cleansed by the renewing of their minds, they would be able to distinguish between the sacred and the common, between honor and rectitude, and dishonor and fraud. But Satan rules the minds and hearts of all those who know not the day of their visitation. All hidden things are open before God. He measures outward acts by the motives which originated those acts. He reads the heart of the man whose motives were once pure and clean, but who parts with these principles to advance his selfish interests. The motives of such a man decide the character of his actions. The intellect takes its coloring and character from the ideas upon which the mind is encouraged to dwell. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. If the mind is not compelled at all times to act from right principles, the man will deviate from justice. And in the day that he does this, there is written opposite his name in the books of heaven, he departed from merciful, righteous principles. He overreached his neighbor. He robbed him, and thus transgressed the law of God. He that offends in one point is guilty of breaking all the commandments of God, for virtually he does this. The man who is entrusted with responsibilities should carry himself as did Daniel, the faithful statesman. He is to be guided by right principles, so that when his affairs are examined, no books will be found to be hidden, no accounts mystified. Every transaction will be as clear as the light of day, so that the scrutiny of the keenest can find no fault in him. Every day, a man in a position of trust has decisions to make on which depend results of great importance. He has often to think rapidly, and this can only be done successfully by those who practice strict temperance. The mind expands under the correct treatment of the physical and mental powers. New vigor comes with every taxation if the strain is not too great. Men are best prepared for work when the mental and physical powers are equally exercised. God's servants must keep a high standard before them. The Lord wants those who are in His service to enlarge their minds by giving the intellectual faculties plenty to do, by harnessing the mind for the stern duties of life, which require close thought. There is need of contemplating God. The man who would be uplifted must be good and do good. If his brethren ask favors of him, he has not a refusal at the end of his tongue or his pen. God's money is to be used not only in your immediate locality, but in regions beyond, in distant countries, in the islands of the sea. If God's people do not engage in this work, God will surely remove the power that is not rightly appropriated. If church members are not active, wide-awake missionaries, they will lose their vitality. They are not living stones. They do not shine, and therefore are not of the least value. God calls for a higher piety, for a pure, sanctified people.